This is Whitney.
And this is Hysterical Women,
the podcast that no one asked for about our thoughts about gender in our society.
Each week, we're going to dissect events, macro
and micro, to determine if we think this week was a win
or a loss for feminism.
Wait, I was going to be dancing to Avril Lavigne, but I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry you weren't expecting me to show up in a pioneer bonnet?
Oh, wait, is that a real pioneer bonnet?
This is, okay, well, it depends on how you define real.
It's
a real thing.
Oh my gosh. Wow. To describe for the listeners is Whitney kind of looks like a pioneer, but make it Starburst colors.
Ooh, I like the way that you put that. So I, as you know, have been staying at my mom's house and went through this old dresser to clear out some of the stuff so that I could put my clothes in it, and came upon this gorgeous pioneer bonnet and gorgeous, gorgeous skirt, which I thought would be something that I'd like to share with you today because it's the weirdest thing I've ever done.
Keep it on.
Well, it's just kind of hot. I'll leave this skirt on.
Fashion
okay, fine.
I'm kidding. I don't actually believe that, but I want you to keep on the bonnet.
So when I was in high school, so I've famously said on the podcast that I'm Mormon. My heritage is Mormon. My ancestors were Mormon, and they were pioneers who like crossed the plains from like New York to Salt Lake City. And one of the weirdest and creepiest and probably most cult-like thing that Mormons do is that they make teenagers reenact pioneer days. And so when I was in high school, I had to reenact a pioneer trek, and we went out on the plains for 3 days. And it's like a way, like I was telling John, I'm like, it's so creepy. I hate it so much. I'm like, if we ever have kids, I'm like, you absolutely do not have to do that, because like our ancestors crossed the plains so that we don't have to. And I feel like if they're watching down on us now, they're just like, what are you doing? Like, we literally did this and you have a car. But it's just like this way to like, I guess, respect and like understand your heritage more. But it's very upsetting to me, and I hated it. And also when I did it, we did it over Easter weekend. And two important things to note is that—
Wait, so it's kind of like an anniversary is coming up.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And also part of the reason that I because this week is the 200th anniversary of like when Mormonism began. So this is, so I think that might be why they do it. I don't know. So we did it on Easter weekend. First off, we're in Texas, but for whatever reason, it snowed and we had to go home because this girl got hypothermia, because we're in Texas, no one dressed. And also like pioneers didn't have, like a lot of pioneers died because it was, like, you don't have the technology and like equipment to like stay warm.
So like maybe you should have stayed, because it's actually culturally like, it's actually like maybe she needed to die. I'm just maybe. Kidding.
But like maybe survival of the fittest, we don't know. But the worst thing for me, the most traumatic part, was that I was supposed to get my braces off on Tuesday. And like the pioneer trek was the weekend before, and I like really petitioned my orthodontist to let me get them off early. And he said no, because he's like, it's just like not worth taking chances, and we won't have time to make your retainer. And like, no. And I was so mad because I had a huge crush on this guy and he was going to be there. And I was just like, he's going to just have to see me in braces, whatever. And of course, like my mom's like, you're fine. Like it doesn't matter. Whatever. Well, then when I was on the pioneer trek, someone took my photo and it got blasted on the front page of a newspaper, which is the only time that's ever happened to me. And it's like me smiling. It's literally only me, and my braces are just like so huge. And that's what's been memorialized. But I also have to say that like,
they're like, here's Whitney Ewland and her braces featuring the orthodontist of
frame stitch. Yeah, exactly. But I have to say that this, I still do kind of stand by the pattern that I chose for this, because I feel like, okay, so right now, just for the listeners,
backtrack, not Mormon, doing my best. You wore this. You wore this hat and this skirt that you picked out the pattern, and then you walked on the plains like this?
Yeah. Yeah. And, but not only, like, I had two. Oh, thank you very much. I was, like, 14. You can only do it. They do it every 4 years so that everyone who's in high school, like, you get to do it one time when you're in high school. And at least that's the way that my, I don't think, like, every, it's not, like, a religious thing at all. Like, it's just an activity, and not every Mormon does it. But it is kind of, like, culturally, like, a lot of people do it. Which is so insane to me. But yeah, I had this outfit and then another outfit, which also is gorgeous. And honestly, and I would wear, like, I had this, like, cool white ruffly top that kind of looks like piratey. So I feel like I was doing my best, but those braces just really kind of screwed me over.
What's really crazy is, like, me and my now roommate Holly used to play Little House in the Prairie, like, basically every meal. Like, her mom would be like, here's some mac and cheese, and we'd be like, oh, like, thank you, mom, like, we're out here on the plains. That wasn't really the accent that they had, but it's just so interesting that you did that.
Yeah, I did that
in earnest, like, in, like, a sanctioned thing.
Okay, but I would also like to point out that I did not choose to do it, whereas you did.
I mean, I was actually acting on a book, so it's actually very literary.
I'm just saying mine was culturally more relevant, and maybe you were just appropriating my culture.
Okay. All right. Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, like I said, if I ever have kids and, like, wherever we live, it's like, we're doing Pioneer Trek, I'm going to be like, you don't have to do that.
My kids are doing Pioneer Trek, even though I don't plan on raising the Mormon, but they're, I'm gonna, but actually every day is going to be Pioneer Trek.
Just, they always have to walk everywhere.
Well, because I'm going to do the thing where I make my kids think that they actually live in pioneer times.
Oh, so you're just a serial killer.
No, I'm not killing anyone.
Yeah. Okay. Sociopath. Okay. Well, I also have another gorgeous thing that I want to show you that I found, but this kind of leads in what?
Well, this is more like, show of the week. What is that thing in school?
Show and tell?
Yeah.
You know, that thing, show of the week. That ever famous thing. But okay, one of the things that I did want to talk about this week is related to Mormonism. So I kind of think maybe I should just jump into that, and then we can go back. Is it okay if we just, like, go a little off form today?
Oh, you mean, like, just skip my question? Sure.
No, just because, like, let's just get this out of the way.
Yeah, let's get this to your out question. Of the way.
Exactly. Okay, so the thing that I want to talk about this week, I mentioned, is the 200th anniversary of Mormonism. And there was a worldwide virtual conference this last weekend. And
Zoom,
it's like
Google Hangout.
Neither. It's like broadcast on TV.
TV. I remember TV.
Ever heard of it? And so it's literally 10 hours of church content from, like, our, like, more global leaders. And I would say the Mormon church has historically been pretty patriarchal and not, like, great to women. And that is just kind of one of the unfortunate things about it. But under my belief, that's, like, oh, also just, like, people are sexist. That's not, like, actually a tenet of the church. That's just, like, the way people have interpreted it. And this last conference this weekend, I felt like there were some wins that I would like to point out. That there was this one lady who spoke, which, first off, even having women speak is kind of a, like, new thing, which is big problem. But like, I think the last conference they had, like, one woman speaker, which was a bummer.
Like, we have one. What more do you want?
Yeah, it's like, maybe more than that. Maybe two, maybe three.
Keep count.
Yeah, exactly. But the first woman speaker that they had this time, this is a quote. My personal mission today is that as a woman, I didn't realize early in my life that I had access to, like, the power of God, basically. Which is, like, very sad that that's how she felt. But the fact that she said that over the pulpit, like, to however many million people, in, like, a sanctioned, like, more approved way, felt like a win, because I think that's how, like, a lot of Mormon women feel, because it is so patriarchal, and there are so many things that are just like, this is just for men, and like men are like the leaders of this church. And so I was like, wow, that's like really like unfortunately profound that a woman said that she's like realized that. And then there was another speaker who kind of gave her talk about in like being like, actually women are necessary, which I thought was also good. And again, just something that I feel like I felt like these were the two most like bold ways of saying that, even though, again, I do think that's what it always has been supposed to be. But then there was like, you know, sexism from leaders and just like culturally. And then I don't know. So it feels like people are kind of like actually speaking out more, which I think is good. And then there also is this one leader who I don't like really like, to be honest. Like, I think he's pretty homophobic and sexist, and he always will like really tries to push the agenda that marriage should only be between men and women. And like literally anytime he starts talking, I just like kind of get like hives, because I'm just like, buckle up, like here comes a lot of like homophobia. But he, in his talk this time, he started talking about how important, like, because Mormons are like very family centric, and like that's why like I think like marriage is so important to Mormons. And so like he started bringing up marriage, and I was like, oh my gosh, like he's about to be like, is only between men and women. But he actually didn't at all, and he just was like, marriage is important, and like sexuality should be between married people, instead of being like, sexuality should be between married man and woman, which was like, I felt like actually very, like, it doesn't seem significant maybe, but like knowing all of his previous talks, I was like, oh, maybe he's like realizing that that was like wrong and hurtful. And I don't know, it felt like progress to me. So I'm counting that as a win.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like, unfortunately, we live in such a state where like institutional forces like that, like having people say that in an institutional way like that, like at this conference, is a huge step. Not that I like know the history of it. No one invited me on a prairie walk, but that like that is a step forward, just because for so long they, even if singular people or groups of people have felt this way in the Mormon community, that like that the faces of it are saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also like, you, I don't know, I try to be not like, I don't know, like not that I like try to tolerate homophobia, but like try and like give people space to learn and to change, I guess. And I think sometimes also things that I'm stressed about, like this one guy who like always says homophobic things, I'm like, this, he also is like the leader of a global church where like the things that seem so important and so necessary to me are maybe not always at the top of his mind, because there's also like a lot of like charitable work that like he's also in charge of doing in like other countries. I don't know. It's just like, I think that that's something that's like so important to me. And I've tried to like hold space to be like, maybe he just like is not really that focused on it, and actually just doesn't realize that he's being homophobic and sexist. And I feel like this at least felt like it was like, oh, maybe the way that I'm coming across is misguided.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very interesting to start think. I mean, we've talked about this before, like, what are we going to allow and what are we not, like, what will we be quiet about when like these kind of necessarily oppressive forces, but these like people higher up on the food chain of whatever type of aspect of life it is, like, where do we draw the line when they say things that don't align with what we think or how we feel? Or, and it's really hard to like, I mean, like, you can't just like yell at your TV, obviously, like that's not effective at all. But it's hard and interesting to think about like where we draw those lines, or like when you can continue to align yourself with these people, or you have to change. I mean, I've been thinking more about like presidential campaigns and stuff. Like, there are these people that have like this whole swath of things that they believe, and some of the things don't align, but like, is it in the walk?
Does it outweigh?
Yeah, does it outweigh? I just don't really No, so this was not succinct, but I think...
No, I think you're right, because it is, and that's something that, like, I think is always a struggle for me when it's, like, there are these things that I don't agree with, but, like, I do think that the good outweighs the bad, and then also, like, I feel like by being part of it, maybe I can be part of a change, but that's, like, always a question of, like, you know, do you, like, and the same with political, is, like, when is good outweighing bad, and what things are worth.
And even just like in our bit, like when we were in LA, we talked about this a little bit, but like, just like, it also happens in like trying to align yourself in the business. And you're like, well, we want to make a similar kind of thing, but then these big dogs sometimes don't have all the right ideals. Anyway.
Yeah, that's great.
I think we'll continue to figure out how we coexist.
Absolutely. I love that.
But a win. I'm glad.
I'm choosing that it's a win, and like, I don't have a lot of quotes or anything to point to, but that was what I took away from it.
There's something similar in way macro that I've decided is a win.
Okay, let's hear.
And like, we can have a fight, but we'll see. So I know you guys were all like, hey, when is she going to talk about Little Women again? And guess what? Is today.
Thank goodness. That's how we really know that we're getting back on track.
Thank God. So I was actually studying my Bible, the New York Times, that I actually don't even read the whole thing every day. Just flip through.
That's exactly like a religion. You just pick the parts that you like.
But okay, so there was an article, because guess what, Whitney?
What?
So Little Women like came out, now you can watch it on your TV. Amazing. People have found that there is a hydro flask and a water bottle, but in the back of a scene, in one of the scenes, I think it's when Timothée Chalamet is like, play the piano or something like that, or like has the glove. I don't know. He's in it. So I'm actually kind of like blaming him for it. Like, I'm like, it's his water bottle, but, people are finding it and they're like, uh-oh. Cause it's very like Game of Thrones, how they right. had all those water bottles, Starbucks. But here's why I think it's actually a win. It means people are watching Little Women like more three times.
Yeah.
And it's also creating a dialogue about Little Women on the internet. I think the more we talk about Little Women, it's good for me. So must be good for all women.
For all women, even if we're just talking about the set design, it's still a win.
It's still a win. But I just found it why is that a whole article on the New York Times?
Yeah, honestly, though, that's the thing, is it's like, we just need something.
Anything.
Something low stakes that feels like drama. Like, do you remember the days when, like, we all would gang up on things like that, and it felt like a big deal? And now it's like, these are the things we need to sustain us, because everything is a big deal.
You know what needs to come back is those things that it's like, do you see a blue dress or a silver dress?
Yeah, we need one of those. How can we start a global internet sensation that's not that relevant? Maybe our Seed and Spark.
I don't think our Seed and Spark is going to be a revolutionary thing that they need. But you know what? Maybe. I've never been that good at the internet before, so maybe it's the time.
Maybe it's going to be my TikToks. I made this weird video of me just pulling really ugly faces, and all of a sudden, like, 7 12-year-olds followed me.
Hey, congrats.
And now I have, like, 8 followers. Now, hey. Like, maybe I just need to make weird ugly faces more, and that'll be my brand.
Win for feminism.
A win for feminism, indeed. I actually, speaking of the internet.
Don't have these days. All we have is the internet in our houses.
Yeah.
/ apartments / boyfriends, parents' houses.
That's all we have. I feel like I was maybe going to say something profound, but it has escaped me. So probably not that relevant.
Because I talked over it?
No. I actually was hoping that when you were talking, I would remember it. Didn't.
Also, okay, this is a tangent, and we can also not talk about this, but okay. Yes, you have it. What is it?
Well, I wanted to ask something about the water bottle thing.
Yes.
Will you remember your thing if I ask? Okay, my question about these water bottle dramas is, who are people blaming? Are people mad, or are people like excited that they're pointing something out? Or are people, you know what I mean? Like when everyone wants to be like the first to notice something.
I think with like, I could be wrong because me and the pulse is not always together. But what I think is that in Game of Thrones, people were like, wow, it really took us out. Like you really took it, like they would never have water bottles. And then I think people got over it and they were like, LOL. And then, and now I think that people are so bored that it's like exciting. And now they're like, I think the Hydro Flask and the Game of Thrones Starbucks cup would like make a good couple. Like that's where people are going. But so I don't think people are mad anymore, but you know who I think we should blame?
Timothée Chalamet?
It's the actors. Like as an actor, you can't just put your water bottle everywhere, anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, but also there is literally a person whose job it is to look for that, to do continuity.
I know, but it's like you can help. Like you remember being in plays and just everyone was always like, shh, behind the curtain. And you were always just so loud. Like we can take a little ownership. We can be quiet. Move their water bottle.
I think that something actors don't really need right now is any more responsibility.
You're right. Take more off my hands.
Take it off of our hands collectively. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're wrong.
I'm sorry. You're blaming the intern
the PA.
On the PA. You're dragging the PA to...
No, what I'm blaming is the team as a whole. Because every team is only as strong as their weakest member. And every single person on that cast and crew had the opportunity to see something and say something. And yet none of them did.
You're right.
But may we ever be more cognizant of where we're putting our water bottles.
Well, I feel like more is when you sign up to be in like a historical piece, you just need to be more aware.
Oh, that's so now there's an expectation depending on the time period.
Because here's what I think.
Yeah.
In regular movies about now, mm-hmm. I never see a random water bottle.
That might be true.
It's like,
Well, but I think you probably just don't notice it.
But I also didn't notice the Hydro Flask, so.
Right.
Yeah, straight to hell. Yeah, I don't know. It's a real thinker.
It's a real thinker. It's something that we usually maybe have a poll about. Guys, comment below if you think that this matters.
And follow up, who to blame.
And who to blame. Yes. Who do you think? Not really that similarly, but in the while we're talking about entertainment, I decided to start watching Killing Eve. And here's what happened. I'm going to say a mini spoiler of episode one. So skip. I'm enjoying it. But eyeball. I was like, this is too much.
Do you have an eye thing?
I just don't do good with violence. It makes me like physically ill. So, but then also while I was watching it, I was like, the acting is so good and the story is so compelling. But also this is a show that John will be obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I think what I need to do, oh, there's a little birdie, I think we're going to like, I've been like, oh, you'll love this. Let's watch it together. But then we just haven't started it yet because we don't have any free time. That's our biggest problem right now. But yeah, we just haven't gotten around to it. But I don't know how much I'll stay on it if there's that much. Like, I mean, I don't actually know how visual it was because I had to like close my eyes. But that's hard. That's a hard thing for me.
There is mad violence.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
You're not optimistic for me.
I'm not optimistic for you if that was too much. I mean, like, it definitely ebbs and flows, like all good murders. But yeah, it's definitely not shying away from that.
Yeah. But I think John will be really into it. So that's good for him, I guess.
I'm really happy that they made that show for him.
Yeah, me too. That's feminism.
And that is feminism.
Okay, wait, what were you going to say?
Speaking of Little Women, Florence Pugh played Amy. Have you watched her cooking videos?
I have seen some a while ago, though, so I don't really remember them.
She's made more like quarantine cooking videos. Then this kind of segue. This is
you know what, the arcs of these stories are actually a little more amorphous, and if you're looking for like something clear cut, like look away,
but look literally anywhere else.
But okay, so my micro is that I was thinking about how like there used to be like 1950s, it was like the housewife and like she's in the home, and then like the man, the like Mad Men style, gets to go out and like be in the world. Now we are all in the home, and I have been thinking about how like, and like cooking dinner has become like the most exciting thing to do for me,
or
and
for some.
For some. And some people are supporting takeout, and I love that too. But even like I found time to like sew something in pants and like doing crafts and like the simple joy of like cleaning the kitchen. And I'm just wondering if it's going to like recalibrate the stigma against like being like an at-home like partner versus out in the world. And I don't know, I'm just interested in that. It's not like a really full-fledged opinion. I just think it's interesting when everyone has to be together and how that, yeah. So that's kind of my archaeologist anthropological broken view. Yeah.
I love it. I love it, because it's what I'm hearing is that maybe it will be more normalized that I don't cook at all and that John does and that he enjoys it and that I don't. And that's why we do it that way. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah. And that's cool. And I think that's cool. And I grew up in a house where my dad was always kind of the head cook. So maybe now every dad will be, maybe who knows what a dad will be anymore in the future.
That's a good point. And maybe it will just be like people who decide to be in a partnership will just make the rules for themselves in a beautiful way.
I don't know.
That would be crazy. Like, what if we all just decided to do what worked best for us and not what society thought we should do?
But just as long as the sexuality stays inside.
Exactly. That would be wild.
I support it all. I support sexuality out of the, on the side of the marriage. Just kidding. But okay, one more subversion.
Yeah.
Comment. Back. And actually, it's crazy because we're actually coming back to Florence Pugh.
All roads lead to Florence Pugh.
I'm truly obsessed with her.
I mean, if you think about it also, like my pioneer story also kind of related to Florence Pugh because of the clothing was kind of a Little Women-y.
Oh, totally. And that's actually why I'm most jealous.
Yeah, I know. Okay, wait, bring it back.
She is dating Zach Braff.
Zach Braff. That's a loss.
Okay, so I guess we figured it out. But it's really all that my roommate and I can talk about, because he's 21 years older, and I read a really funny article about like her hypothetically having to explain memes to him. Which is an incredible article if anyone wants to read it. But I was just thinking about how like that used to be such a stigma, like an older man dating a younger woman. And I think that people still clearly have opinions about it. which one, we shouldn't. It's their own business.
Well, I just don't like him. I don't really care about their age.
Okay, yeah. And that's a take too. And I wonder if that's actually what people care more about, is that.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sorry. I don't know. No, again, less of a coherent thought, more just buzzwords floating around my head. But I also am like, the kitchen that they share together is so beautiful. I want to cook there. So maybe I want them to adopt me.
That seems beautiful.
Because I actually, I'd kind of be in the middle of their ages. But maybe we could make it like I'm
I'm like a stepsister.
You're the grandma.
I'm the grandma. And then actually age doesn't matter at all.
Exactly.
But I get to like have a walker. And I finally get to do my physical comedy.
I love that for you.
For once.
Wait, what's your question this week?
Oh, there's a couple. But one was, have you ever had chutney?
No, I sure haven't.
It's actually interesting.
Tell me more.
Because it's like jam, but it's spicy.
Oh, wait. Is it possible that I had like a peach chutney on like a sandwich and it's like peach and spicy?
Yes.
Yes, it's delicious.
Yeah, I've been eating a lot of chutney here.
Is that an Irish thing?
It's more Europeanish. I think it's like, it's definitely an Indian food. So let's 1000% not be like, it's just for the Europeans. that would be bad and wrong. But I think that the English I don't know if they've appropriated the chutney or they've colonized and brought the chutney. I don't really know the history of chutney. And I can't believe I brought it up without having no insight. But what I would like to say.
That's what we're doing today.
What I would like to say about chutney is that it is so weird. It's sweet and then spicy. But it's not jam. Like, don't try to make it jam, but you can, like, put it on a sandwich. When I think about chutney, I think of, like, I feel like she's putting a lot of chutney on sandwiches at her Fleabag cafe.
Oh, interesting that you put that together. Because I got the vibe that, like, chutney feels, like, fancy to me.
Mm.
And I got the vibe that that's not a fancy cafe. But
I think like a chutney and cheese sandwich.
Yeah. Like, I would love right now, and I also should preface that the only thing I've had is that weird protein shake, but I'm, like, very hungry, and I feel like a sandwich with, like, chutney, and then I eat meat, so, like, maybe, like, a turkey, but then, like, avocado and, like, cheese, but, like, the bread is toasted, sounds, like, so incredible.
My other question was, are you a loser? Like, do you lose things a lot? Because today I lost a piece of bread in a toaster.
What?
Well, I was trying to make a chutney piece of toast with cheese. But it was small because I'm tiny. And then it slipped through
the toaster.
And it was trapped. And I had to dump it out over.
Did it burn?
No, actually, it was actually less toasted than I would have liked, but I couldn't put it back in.
Yeah, that's the hard thing about toasters is it's like you kind of only have one shot at it. You know, it's like if you put it in twice, it's like I feel like if you don't have it at the right setting, if it's too low, then it comes out and it's just like barely done. And then you put it in again and it's like burnt to a crisp.
I know. It's like I think so many things are a spectrum, but actually toastings, no.
Mm-mm.
It's you know, like
it's either good or it's not.
It either is like underdone or it's like a little crusty.
Like burnt. Yeah.
I don't agree with you, but saying it in a different, more confusing way for no reason.
Which is what we need right now. My mom made us really delicious homemade bread, and that's all I just wanted to brag about. But I also think it's interesting that sandwiches, going back to appropriating, there's a sandwich in like every single culture. Have you ever thought about that? Like I don't know if it's like because these like for example, there's like banh mi in Vietnam, and I'm like, I don't know if that's because the French like took over for a while, but there's like banh mi, and then like there's tortas in Mexico, and then like I don't know. I just think it's interesting that like every culture was like, let's make bread and then let's put stuff in it.
Yeah. And if anyone has info on this, I would actually love to have them on a Zoom call and we can just talk about
bread
sandwiches, like sandwiches. The history of sandwiches.
Okay. So comment below if you have any insight. We will not be conducting any Google research, but we would like for someone else to tell us what they know. okay. Wait, I want to know more about your question about being a loser. Do you lose other things? Like, are you a person who's, like, always losing your keys?
No. Well, no.
I don't think so. I think there are some things that I feel like I have, am really aware that I need. And so sometimes I'm like, but I don't think I'm like someone who loses things a lot. But there are some pieces of clothing that I've lost and I just really don't know where they are. Like a velvet shirt from 3 years ago. It was blue. Where is it?
Oh, I was thinking of the one with the turtleneck. Don't you have a turtlenecky kind of velvet shirt?
I don't remember. No.
You lose that one too? You lost the memory of it.
I know. And that is Inception, actually, what that movie's about. are you a loser?
No, but John is, and it's horribly frustrating. I also feel like I've spent enough time with you to know, like, I would know if you lost things a lot. So I would say you're not a loser, except for this instance of losing your bread in the toaster. But I feel like that's the toaster's fault and not your fault.
Yeah, I think that they set me up, this family set me up for failure.
They set you up for failure, and like, you don't need to take responsibility for that.
And actually, I'm not really.
But also, this conversation reminded me of that time that I left my keys at your apartment. And I took the subway home and then realized I didn't have them, and I needed them to get into work the next morning, but they also had my AirPods on it, and so I called an Uber and the Uber drove my keys all the way to my house.
I feel like when you're a loser, you really problem solve it super fast.
Probably.
Yeah.
I actually, like, this last week, we were making decisions about like coming down to visit my mom after we'd spent 3 weeks self-quarantining. And I was like, I'm actually very fast at making decisions.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think I've ever noticed that about myself.
Really? I think I noticed that about you. So I'm sorry that I didn't tell you.
Wow. Yeah. You could have brought me a lot of self-awareness that I've been missing.
So fast.
So fast.
We were really jumping all over the place, but that's okay. It's actually keeping it fresh and fun. What is we're flirting. Listeners, let us know if you're interested. What is your micro?
Oh, I don't have one.
Oh, cool. Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't, yeah, I sure don't have one. I think it's actually been, maybe this is a micro, is that I feel like in self-quarantining, I actually feel like the life that I'm living right now has nothing to do with my gender.
Yeah.
Which is really beautiful.
Yeah.
It's kind of just the same thing that you were saying, but
yeah, it's like just being a human and like, and connecting with people because they're human too. Not like,
yeah,
that actually is beautiful. Should we cancel our podcast?
Cause we just fixed feminism.
Yeah. Feminism. It's actually over, but not because it's canceled, but because it has transcended.
Yeah. Jinx. Okay, wait, I do want to show you something else though.
Okay, tell and show.
Yeah, no, what's it called? Show of the week. It's okay, so when I was in high school, we did this thing called senior overalls, and you decorate this pair of overalls and you wear them to the football games, and
all of them, oh my god,
they're crazy.
Whoa.
So just for the listeners, the front is like decorated. It says Cottbell Cowboys.
Wait, and then on the you made this? Whitney,
I made these. Yeah. Like,
did your mom make these?
No, actually I did. And that was like, it became a business in my hometown that like, there were a lot of moms who did make them. But so you could like hire someone. Yeah. So
those
I made
buttons?
These. Yeah. So the front has like my name. I'll post it. Maybe we could post a picture in the show notes. Cause it's kind of insane. Cause honestly, I was looking at these and I was like, I did like a really, like, I'm not really a crafty person, but I feel like I did a really good job on these.
No, I'm actually very impressed by the letters.
Thank you. And then, so yeah, there's all these buttons with my name. And then on the back, you do like whatever you were involved in. So, on this leg, it says Vivace, which was my show choir. And then this one says yearbook. This little pocket says swim team. This one says theater, which, like, look at that. I made the little New York skyline. There's, like, the Empire State Building on it, and it says theater. And then this part that I'm the most proud of, which is what I really want to show you, is this pocket that I added that is just cat buttons. It's literally just an entire pocket filled with buttons that are cats.
This is actually psychotic.
And I feel like this is what represents me as a human in high school and me as a human today.
Yeah, and I like that it's like not necessarily gendered. It's just you being you.
Yeah, I mean, only girls had them. Oh. So in that sense, that's not great. But overall, okay. We're kind of
okay, a loss for feminism. No, I'm like
a loss.
A loss and a win. I don't know.
I just really wanted to show you the cat buttons. Because I told you before that I was like the cat girl as like kind of a joke, but it kind of became my real persona. And I saw that and was like, that checks out.
You're like, Nora's about it now.
That. Yeah, exactly.
You've never watched Friday Night Lights, right?
Nope.
Well, it sounds like you kind of lived it. But yeah. I got John to watch the pilot the other day. I felt close to you. I felt like I was hanging out with you. Well, not really, but I felt like I was like getting it more.
Absolutely.
Texas. That show, it is so crazy that I love that show that much. Like
it really is.
It really makes no sense. But I literally cried during the pilot again, and I've seen it like 4 times, and it really doesn't align with anything that's like. Like, if you're a cat girl, like, I'd say that I'm, like, people wouldn't be like, oh, Friday Night Lights girl. Football girl. Yeah. Oh, that show. And John was like, why do you like this?
He's like, this is not that good and not really relevant.
Well, he's just like, it's from, like, 2005. And I was like, I love him. I love him. I love her. I love him.
Did you watch it while it was coming out?
No.
Interesting. It's your Gossip Girl.
It's my gossip. Well, Gossip Girl was also my Gossip Girl. When you have too much TV that you love to watch, I love a sports montage.
Yeah.
I think.
But you played sports, so that does actually kind of make sense.
Yeah. But I don't like watch sports.
But there wasn't, but I'm sure that like camaraderie and like team feeling is true to life. And also like having a show, because that kind of is the show about sports from that time, at least.
Yes.
That's like probably the closest to when you were playing sports.
She figured it out.
She's
cracked the code.
I also love Connie Britton.
Connie Britton's amazing.
She's amazing. I like would kill to have her career.
Yeah, no, she really is so amazing. And I was listening to an interview with her, and it was really interesting, her talking about Friday Night Lights and how she and the main guy, whose name is I forget, really had to like fight for that marriage to stay like solid, and how the like filming of Friday Night Lights was a lot of, it, like Peter Berg, the guy who made it, it's like very much a guy's club. And so she had to kind of like forge her way. She's strong.
She's a hero. Okay, question about Friday Night Lights. Do they have mums?
What?
Do they have mums for homecoming?
No.
Okay, you would know if they did. Okay, so there's this article that went viral, and it's like, only in Texas, this is what happens. So for homecoming, you make your date a mum that you wear under your senior or over your senior overalls. So the guys get this like corsage, and the girls get this huge mum. This is a photo.
What?
This was like this viral photo that went viral a few weeks ago, but these girls were on yearbook with me. These were like my friends. Some of them, well, they're a grade younger than me, but a couple of them were on yearbook. And
you wear them on top of your overalls.
So you wear your overalls every Friday, and there was like a like just you wore them every Friday. I actually really just wore them to the pep rallies, and then would take them off because they're like not comfortable. But like our choir always was singing the national anthem, so I was like, oh, I'll wear them, and like it's fun. Also, my senior year did not go to one single football game. I went mostly in middle school and like my freshman and sophomore year, and then was like, I'm a theater kid, I don't need sports anymore. And also had like rehearsals and stuff. But yeah, these mums are like crazy, and it's like they're all, I should put a picture of them somewhere, but it's just like this huge thing with this teddy bear, and it becomes this like, they would weigh like 30 pounds. And so then people, and it like becomes this competition, like who's his biggest, and it just becomes a showy thing. Anyway, I brought those up just because I wanted to say that no one ever asked me to homecoming, and I never had one.
Do you want me to make you a mum?
No.
Because I want to decapitate a
Did they just cut the heads off of bears?
What? No, the whole bear is on there.
Oh, sorry. I take back what I said. Oh, I see. Yeah, they're not decapitated.
They're not decapitated at all.
I'm going to make you a mum when you least expect it and then force you to wear it.
Okay, but I want you to make it like funny and also like biodegradable.
They're intrinsically funny, and I don't know if that's an option.
But like, look at this. Sorry for all the people listening. Someone just made a giant Texas. It's wider than her shoulders.
Honestly, pretty ugly they are.
Pretty ugly, yeah. And some of them would be like fun and cute, but then, I mean, the ones you can see on the internet are all just like obviously insane if you Google it, but some of them are like cute and kind of fun. But like, I would want one made out of like candy. And also like maybe, who's the guy that did like Nightmare Before Christmas?
Tim Burton.
Like maybe like a Tim Burton mom.
Okay, I'm inspired now.
Tim Burton mom made out of candy.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, great.
She's going to order 40 pounds of black licorice and make you a harness with it.
You just like braid it.
I've touched every single one and then I'm like, eat it.
There's like hot glue gun on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll be like, that's liquid sugar. Well, should I get to work? Oh, do you have, so win or loss?
A win. Are you kidding me? This is the biggest win of them all. We actually needed coronavirus to reset feminism. Oh, that was a bold thing to say. It's not true.
Suit. Artist?
I have not listened. I honestly haven't consumed art at all in a week. Not music, not TV shows, not movies.
I started watching Unorthodox, which is right in time for Passover. Happy Passover.
Happy Passover. I'm sorry, I forgot to wish you happy Passover. I was going to.
Whitney tried to make this a Mormon episode, but it's actually a Passover episode.
I'm sorry.
But Unorthodox is very interesting and looks at Orthodox Judaism in, but it's like a drama. It's like TV. It's not, I thought it was going to be a docuseries, but looking at Orthodox Judaism and this, like, based on a novel and this young woman getting away from it. So I think that's interesting. She's an artist, the writer, and then also the lead actress is very good. But also I just wanted to, I think an artist is anybody who's reading, because I finished a book today and felt amazing.
That's good for you. I actually am reading a book that I would like to highlight.
Oh,
that reminded me. It's called City of Girls. I think it's by Liz Gilbert. Someone fact check me on that. But it's about this girl who lives in, it's historical fiction, but this girl who moves to New York City in the 1940s and moves in with her aunt who owns a theater company. So it's just like 1940s theater showgirls, like, it's just like really fun and was written by a woman. So I had that. I also think quarantining has been really interesting to watch how many, like, I have all these cousins who are like as a family making quarantine, like my cousin has children and like him and his children are making videos together and like people are like writing songs and like it's kind of cool seeing like, oh, when people actually have time, like everyone is creative.
Yeah.
And it's not just like the people who have deemed themselves artists or like are doing it for their profession, but it's just, I don't know. I've liked watching the creative things that are coming out of people's time.
So are we saying everyone's our artist of the week? Not everyone, but some people. Some people,
they don't suck.
If you think it's you, it might be.
But only if you don't suck.
Only if you don't stop. Wow. What a roller coaster this has been.
This has been so fun.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for ruining your Avril Lavigne moment.
Oh my gosh. It's totally fine.
Do you want to turn it on and we can dance it out to end the episode?
Can we even because of rights?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we're not making any money off of this.
Okay, cool. I'm scared to be frustrated. I like- Bye.
Thanks for listening.
If you listened.
If you like the pod, hit subscribe and leave us a review.
Also, if you have a macro event that you'd like us to cover, slide into our DMs on Instagram @hystericalwomen.